Let's talk rugby and Rossy Erasmus and tapes and world rugby and hearings and so on. Just before we get to that, Kyle Sinclair has been cleared of biting charges, so he is free to play for the British and Irish Lions. And I'm just looking for both coaches have made changes. The South African changes are essentially injury enforced, in that Kobus Reinach will start because Faf du Plessis is not fit to play. Pieter Steyn du Toit is not fit to play, which means that Luit de Jager and Eben Etzebeth will lock the scrum, and Franco Mostert will start on the flank. And Craig Ray, I think those are the only changes to the starting 15.
Starting 15 changes on. Faf de Klerk, I think he said Faf du Plessis. I don't know. I'm getting so confused.
I have done that a few times. It wouldn't be the first if I did. Faf de Klerk, yeah. And Warren Gatland has made a few changes as well. He is starting with Ali Price. He's got the Josh Adams on the wing. He's got Liam Williams at fullback. So he's made a few changes as well.
Yeah, it's not surprising. Liam Williams is better under the high ball. Stuart Hawk was poor last week. I'm quite surprised Anthony Watson's been dropped and Duan Funamava's kept his place.
I was a bit surprised by that as well. Yeah,
Unless there's an injury to Watson that we're not aware of, and they haven't made that public. But that to me was a strange one. And it's their third different centre combination in the third test. So, I think this indicates to me that Gatland's made six changes and the Springboks have only made those enforced changes. Gatland's made them all tactically, and I suspect, it says more to me that Gatland doesn't really know what his best team is yet, and we enter the third test, which you've got to take as a positive sign from a South African point of view.
And then World Rugby has, as I think most people expected, summoned Rossy Erasmus and SA Rugby to an independent hearing. And who knows how that is going to go? How angry are they likely to be? Angry, yes. How angry is, I suppose, the question.
Yeah, look, it's not surprising, as you say, that he was hauled over the coals, but I think Rossy was quite clear, even in the video, he sort of said he knew what was coming. He sort of forewarned that, if you want me out of the game, then I'll accept that. So he knew this was coming, but I suppose, in retrospect, what happened last week and the fact that I thought the officiating was a lot higher standard, even though there were some controversial issues, maybe it was worth it in the long run for Erasmus to have done that. There could be some sanctions coming. I don't think they'll be as harsh as banning him from the game for months and years on end, but they might sort of
stripping South Africa from the right to bid to host major events. Those are all possible sanctions under the rules, but it does seem unlikely that it'll be more than perhaps a monetary fine and perhaps a little bit of time away from the game.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think he's going to go to Australia for the rugby championship anyway. So if they do ban him for a bit, that'll be fine. And South Africa's hosting the Sevens World Cup next year. So stripping South Africa now of hosting major events would be, backfire actually on world rugby. So it's going to be a wrap of the knuckles. And it was interesting that World Rugby in their statement, though, John, also criticised the Lions for their criticism of officials, which Warren Gatland still adamantly denies he did. Yet World Rugby's actually, come out.
Well, they know that he had a quiet word with a friendly journalist who would then publish
all seven. Because there were at least four different English publications that I saw that had the same Gatland fury, and in inverted commas, or furious. Yet there was no direct quote attributed. And we all know how this works, little private word and get that story out for us chaps, and it gets done.
See, I think in a way the second test refereeing is a bit like ivermectin, if I may. If you have COVID and you get ivermectin and you recover, you go, I recover because I had ivermectin. And you don't have the alternate reality where you have COVID and don't get ivermectin, and the chances are good that you would have recovered anyway. And so it is with Ben O'Keefe's refereeing, because we don't know what would have happened if Rossy Erasmus had not released that video. But because the result pleases us and we feel that the majority of the contentious decisions went our way, we like to think that the video was the cause of that. And it might well have been, but we'll never know.
No, we will never know. All we do know is that it was a fairly reffed game, and that's all you ask for. I'm not saying there weren't controversial issues, but, I mean, Chesman Colby, there's a lot of cries for a red card, but, you know, there's a lot of former referees and players who said it's a yellow card, and that's the problem with world rugby and the laws, is there's so much that's open to interpretation. One ref says it's definitely a red, another ref says it's a yellow. Even Nigel Owens, who said, I would have given a red, but I understand why they gave yellow. Well, what does that mean? If he understands why they gave yellow, it means he's okay with it. There's something in it he's seen that could be a yellow card, but he says he would give a red. So, you know,
he would have given a yellow for the tip tackle, which was only penalised. So, the point I was trying to make yesterday, and I think it's a point that you've made probably a couple of times to me far more articulately, is that the rules, the laws, are the problem, because they allow for the kind of interpretation that is happening. And when you go to the Hawkeye for tennis, the ball's either on the line or it's not. In rugby, it's not as simple as that.
No, it isn't. But there is some technology developments, and this is maybe
a conversation
for a different day. But there are some developments that are chips in the ball, that the ball can in instant, almost in real time, tell the referee that it was forward or the kicker was in front, and so on. And so the technology exists. I think it's got to be refined and it's quite expensive, but it's there, and that will certainly help the referees and the officials at the game to get calls that are marginal right in real time. And one of the other factors, of course, that the Lions are moaning about currently is how slow the game was on Saturday.
And boy, it was.
As long as Rafi's video, the 62 minutes. And it isn't pleasant, and it obviously suited the Springboks. But a lot of those stoppages were for television match official reviews as well, as the Springboks taking their time to get their line out and so on. So rugby's got a lot of work to do. And I just wonder if World Rugby's got the appetite to actually do this work and get there. And this is just a gut feel. I don't know this for sure. But I suspect, sevens is such a big part of the world program now. It's an Olympic sport. I do wonder if World Rugby's not focused more on sevens than on 15s and going, well, that's our future, really. That's where the real money's going to be.
Yeah, please not. I mean, I enjoy my 2 days at the Cape Town Stadium when we have the sevens here. But really, I'd rather watch 5-day test cricket and a 2-hour-long 80-minute rugby game than just have sevens. Craig, thank you very much for talking to us. Craig Ray, the sports editor of Daily Maverick.